If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Wisdom. God is calling. He's calling us, calling us, calling us, calling us. Our relationships are in shambles. Our lives are in shambles. Our finances are in shambles. You're a born-again Christian. God knew exactly what you would go through, gave you prescriptions from the Word of God. You opted not to do it. You made decisions based upon your right now money, and God knew you would not be in the same financial position. Now you're miserable, unhappy, and disconnected. You didn't ask God, should I buy that house? Should I buy that car? Should I marry that person? No, you did it because you were able to do it. And God said, now I'm going to mock you. Now I'm going to laugh at you. Now I'm going to embarrass you because you didn't listen. God said to me this morning in my devotion, he said, failures blame others for their failures. No one is the cause of my failure but me. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm the cause. If I'm a Christian, I could have gone to God to get help. But it's easy to blame somebody else and turn people's minds against the other person or turn them to you because people always want to blame somebody. Nobody is the cause of your failure but you. You see, when you live in the land of the ignorant, what you'll do is you'll begin to look at what you lose. When you live in that land of the ignorant, you begin to look at that loss and you now form your life around what you don't have. But if you live in the land of wisdom, you say, God, nobody's taking nothing from me. You're in this. Now show me what to do. And here's what God will do. God will touch the people with whom you do business. Have them call you and lower your payments. But if the devil keeps you looking at what you're losing, you won't see the possibility of the miracle. God will set up a miracle if you're trusting him. Wisdom says trust God. Wisdom says don't look at what you rejoice. Hallelujah. Lord, you let this thing happen. You got a setup coming for me. Something is about to break. Something is going to be greater. You got a relative down in South Carolina that you didn't even know about who died and left your name on the will and give you every dime you need to replace what you just lost, but you didn't even know. And God said, I had no reason to send it to you until I set you up. Wisdom, knowledge. In other words, brothers and sisters, you go through this Bible and you find somebody who is going through or has gone through, rather, the same thing that you are going through. And if God did it for them, tell your neighbor, stop whining. Here's what God says. When your fear comes, in verse 27, as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then you will call upon me. Hallelujah. That's a good thing, isn't it? However, unlike Jeremiah, he says, but I will not answer. You'll seek me, but you'll not find me. Why? Why, Lord? Because I already told you what to do. I need to give you three things real quick that the Holy Spirit gave me. And these three things will address how God calls you. The purpose for these three illustrations is for you to understand that what you are going through has one central purpose, and that is to put you in position to respond to the calls that we will discuss. You need to realize that you serve a God that capitalizes on the emotion that you are going through at the moment. That it has been set up by a divine power of God and not designed to break you, but to make you come to a place of repentance and humility so that you may hear from God. Our first illustration comes out of Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And I will paraphrase, this is the call of Moses. As God calls Moses into this work ethic. We've already been told, the Bible tells us, that Moses has already killed an Egyptian. He does so because he has come to the awareness of who he is. And he wants to help God. How many of us want to help God? I know I want to help him sometimes. The hardest thing in the world is to take your hands off of something and let God handle it. And Moses wanted to help God, so he killed himself an Egyptian. Way to go, Moses. He killed an Egyptian. And the Bible says that God allowed it to be exposed the next day because God wanted to deliver his people not by the hand of Moses, but the hand of God through Moses. And when Moses found out that this thing was done, he breaks camp and runs. He is now working as a shepherd, the lowest job you can have in the Egyptian economy. They despise shepherds. He has married a woman whose father is affluent, has multiple herds of sheep and probably goats and others. And this particular day, Moses takes them to what's called the backside of the desert. On the backside of the desert, history tells us that grass did not grow as plentiful as it did on the sunny side of the street. It tells us that the shepherd who brought their sheep over to the backside had to scrounge for not only food, but water as well. The sheep were not as nourished as the ones on the sunny side. And it was on that backside when things seemed to be impossible. It's on that backside when it appears that there's no fruitfulness. Depression and frustration have set in. And Moses is probably wondering, what do I do now? I can't go back to Egypt because they're looking for me. There's a price on my head. Dog the bounty hunter is looking for me. I don't know what to do. He's full of anxiety. He's standing there with his staff, and tradition tells us that in the staff is carved his ancestry. And the metaphor is, when I lean on that staff, I'm leaning on my ancestry, that everyone who went before me is supporting me in my current position, that I can't make it on my own. While he's there tending those sheep, he looks up and he sees something that, while not unusual, is unusual in its finite position. The bush has spontaneously caught fire. That's not impossible in the desert. The heat is such with the dryness that bushes would spontaneously catch on fire. But this one was not burned up. And so God uses your natural situation to invoke a spiritual calling. Something doesn't make sense. He climbs the mountain. He reaches a certain level, and he's challenged by the voice of God. Moses, Moses. This call is accompanied by an attitude of worship. Take your shoes off. I can't have anything between you and me. The place you're standing is holy. Now that I've called you to me, it is important that I identify who I am. I am the God of Abraham, God of Isaac and Jacob, and I've seen the affliction of my children in the bondage of Egypt. Not only have I seen it, but I know their sorrows. I'm acquainted with them. I feel them. He said, this thing has become so great that now I am come down to deliver them, but I'm sending you. But I'm coming down, but I'm sending you. Well, if you coming down, why don't you do it? Because I'm here to deal with what you can't deal with. You can handle the people. I'll handle the devil. You say, oh, Pastor, that person coming against me, you can handle the person. I'll handle the spirit that's motivating the person. I've given you grace to handle knuckleheads, but I'll take care of the principality. I'm coming down, but you go get your people. Moses said, I can't do this. I don't speak well. I stutter. It don't matter if you stutter. I ain't using your words. Well, what sign am I going to have that you hear? What you got in your hand? A staff. What's on that staff? My family. What's it there for me to lean on? Throw it down. What do you mean throw it down? Throw it down. You ain't leaning on your family no more. When you throw it down, it's going to become a serpent. What does that mean? It means what you went through will help you heal somebody else. But when you pick it up, it's going to be with my power. So don't despise the day of small things. What you went through, your past helps you heal somebody else. But when you take it up, your future brings deliverance to many. I'm not done with you, boy. When I get to your people, they're going to ask, what is your name? No, they're not. They're going to be so happy they're being delivered. They ain't going to care what my name is. You can go back and tell them my name is Leroy. But no, since you want to know I am, that I am. When you go home, tell the people I am. I am what? Whatever you need. When I call you from your position of failure, I'm calling you to a revelation of who I am. Before I call you to service, I'm calling you to relationship. Before I call you to ministry, I'm calling you to identification. I want you to see that you can't do anything without me, but I want you to know that with me you can do all things. Before I send you with my gospel, I'm sending you with my power. Before I send you with my power, I'm sending you with my name. You will know who I am. Before I call you to anything else, I'm calling you to worship and identification. Take your shoes off. God will call us based on his need to fulfill a specific task. But he can't call you unless you've been through something. Right now you're going through labor pain. So, but oh, when the baby comes out, you ain't going to think about them pains. When the anointing hits you and you casting out a devil, you laying hands on a sick person, you will recognize the call of God was not to convenience and comfort, but it was to sacrifice and worship. And when you become an instrument of worship, devils will back up from you. You must be bold enough to speak for God, and God has promised not to let your words fall to the ground. In the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. And the Bible said he went to flee from the presence of the Lord. If you will notice what it says after he ran to get to Tarshish, it says he went down to Joppa. And then it says he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go unto Tarshish. When you leave the direction of the Lord, you go, Lord, have mercy. You will never go up when you're disobedient. You will go down into Joppa. Then you'll go down into the ship. And while you're down into the ship, thinking that you're getting away from your call, the Bible says in verse 4, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty storm, so that the ship was almost broken. You might go down to Joppa and down in the ship, but you can't get away from your calling. God calls you to worship and identification. Then he calls you to stand for his holiness and his righteousness. And then he calls you to obedience so that you do not run into unnecessary storms.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2116P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Jesus says that we are the light of the world and that we are the salt of the earth. But just what does that mean? The Bible tells us that we should come out from among them and be separate, that you and I have the command to demonstrate the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and the love of God, so that the world may know that the Lord exists. To that end, the Lord has encouraged us to write a book entitled The Christian and the Culture. The purpose of this book is to give you an opportunity to examine how the culture is trying to pull us into an ungodly lifestyle, but you and I are encouraged to live above the cultural trappings. You need to get this book into your library. There are chapters that talk about confronting the giants in your life, chapters that express God's love for you and how you and I are to separate ourselves, as the Apostle Paul says, by renewing our mind. And that is the basis of change. Our announcer is going to give you all the information you need to get this book into your personal library, to read it over and over and over again, and watch God begin to give you a sense of distinctiveness so the world will see that Jesus truly is the Lord of all creation.
Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. Be sure to get your copy of this life-changing book and learn how to become a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For more information, call 215-885-2585.